involve shootings to other significant allegations of misconduct, such as excessive force, illegal searches, and sexual misconduct. The public can stay informed throughout the police board's process for considering these cases because the board places a high value on transparency and makes a great deal of information available to the public. The arbitration process, on the other hand, takes place behind closed doors. Charges brought against officers are available on the board's website. They are not made available when it's arbitration. All of the board's disciplinary hearings are open to the public. Arbitration hearings are closed to the public. The board takes final action on all cases in this setting in our public monthly meeting, where each board member's vote is announced and recorded. Arbitrators make their decisions in private. The board posts on its website its written decisions, which include detailed explanations of the reasons for the board's findings. Arbitrators' decisions are not posted on the city's website. In addition, the board publishes monthly, quarterly, and annual reports of cumulative data on its decisions, which enables the public to evaluate the board's work overall. The members of the police board are a diverse group of Chicagoans, and we are committed to performing our duties with independence, integrity, and fairness to all involved. We all live in the city and come to this board from different backgrounds and professions. I believe we represent the people of Chicago very well. Arbitrators, on the other hand, do not have to live in the city and are a much less diverse group. Police officers currently have the option of requesting that either an arbitrator or a police board review disciplinary suspensions of 31 days to 365 days. Only one such request has been filed with the police board since 2014. Police accountability and ultimately the people of Chicago will suffer if the most serious police disciplinary cases are removed from the police board's jurisdiction, which is what will happen if this decision is allowed to stand. The arbitrator's decisions will be considered by the city council. Members of the board and I stand ready to appear and provide council members with more information on the police board and on the impact that we believe the arbitrator's decision will have. Next, Deputy Inspector General for Public Safety, Tabara Richardson, will provide an overview of the Inspector General's report, review of the disciplinary grievance procedure for Chicago Police Department members. We'll try it back here.
Is everyone able to hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay. In 2021, the Office of Inspector General, or the OIG, specifically the Public Safety Section, published a report where we conducted a review of the Chicago Police Department's disciplinary grievance procedure. A significant percentage of CPD's sustained discipline cases pass through the grievance procedure system. Accordingly, it is imperative that the procedure and its outcomes are transparent and accountable to CPD members as well as the public. Failures of transparency or gaps in accountability threaten public trust and members' confidence in the fair operation of the disciplinary system as a whole. So if I talked about the report in its fullness, it would take me well over the time that we have here. So I'm going to give you all a general overview, and I would recommend that you go to the OIG's website, igchicago.org, to look at the report, the full report. So starting off, the report describes the disciplinary grievance procedures for non-exempt CPD members, which are CPD officers, sergeants, lieutenants, and captains. If an allegation against a CPD member is sustained, then the investigatory agency will recommend discipline for the accused member. There is a process between there, but if the Chicago Police Department goes on to issue discipline after this review process, then the member facing discipline may accept the discipline or grieve the discipline. And when I say grieve the discipline, I simply mean that they may dispute the discipline. Depending on the rank of the officer and the recommended discipline, officers may proceed to the binding summary opinion process, which is conducted by arbitrators. arbitration or before the police board. And again, it varies depending on the rank of the officer or the recommended discipline. If you look at the report, we have a handy chart in the report where you can look at the rank of the officer, what the recommended discipline was, and it will tell you the various options that that CPD member may have. With this inquiry, we set out to determine the extent to which discipline issued to sworn CPD members changed as a result of the grievance process. And we also identified justifications offered by arbitrators for why they made their decisions to reduce, eliminate, or maintain discipline for the grievant. This review excluded considerations of the automatic non-waivable reviews by the police board, for which the MCC provides, where the recommended discipline is more than 365 days or where separation is recommended in those instances currently that automatically goes before the police board and it can't be waived. OIG reviewed the results of disciplinary grievances resolved within a three-year period. During that time frame, we looked at 370 disciplinary grievances which were resolved or settled during that time frame. This accounted for approximately 52% of all cases eligible for grievance, because not all sustained disciplinary cases are eligible for grievance. That number is actually 39% out of the total number of sustained disciplinary cases. So 52% of all cases where grievances were possible and 39% where discipline was sustained. And as a result, we reached a number of findings. The first finding was that more than half of all eligible cases were grieved. Of those grieved, 78% resulted in discipline that was either reduced or eliminated. The reduction of issued discipline is the most frequent outcome for all grievance pathways except arbitration. For arbitrations, the most frequent outcome is a complete elimination of the discipline. Regarding factors identified by arbitrators, we looked at the binding summary opinions decided by arbitrators. When discipline was reduced, the most common factors were the officer history, mitigating, and no deterrent effect of penalty, which reflects arbitrators' assessment of the issued discipline as unduly harsh and warranting reduction. When discipline was eliminated, the most frequently cited factor was insufficient evidence of the investigation. The other commonly cited factors in cases where discipline was eliminated suggested arbitrators' belief that the issued discipline was unwarranted. Last, when arbitrators maintained issued discipline, arbitrators most commonly cited factors that supported the basis for discipline, such as sufficient evidence investigation and admits guilt, and rejected arguments for reducing discipline, citing factors such as union grievance arguments unreasonable and seriousness of offense aggravating. Our second finding is that the disciplinary grievance procedure lacks transparency. When a sworn member grieves the issued discipline, there is typically no public information about any of the facts of the case. Arbitration awards are not published by the city as a matter of course. The Illinois Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, makes the final outcome of arbitrations in which discipline is imposed accessible to the public. But Illinois FOIA law permits withholding all records where no discipline is imposed. Even where discipline is imposed, records other than the final outcome of arbitrations could be still withheld. So, for example, facts not readily available to the public include how the final discipline changed from the issued discipline and the arbitrator's rationale for any changes from the issued discipline. The police board is the exception to the lack of transparency because the police board publishes the outcomes of its cases on its website, as you just heard. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about settlements, but currently neither CPD nor the Department of Law publicly report on grievances that reach a settlement between the parties. The OIG recommended that CPD and DOL make information about disciplinary grievances, procedure cases, and the outcomes of binding summary opinions, arbitrations, and settlements publicly available in a manner that protects privacy. This is important given that arbitrations have precedential value and can hold weight in future cases. So essentially what I'm saying is when arbitrators make decisions, they also look at their prior decisions, and that's where the weight or the importance of those decisions come into play. However, those decisions and the rationale for those decisions aren't publicly available. Our report includes a third finding regarding the settlement process, finding a lack of transparency and consistency. The settlement process includes reductions in discipline and removal of rule violations from CPD members' records. Again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the settlement process. However, I will say as far as statistics are concerned, that out of the cases we looked at, 92% of the cases resolved by settlement resulted in reduced discipline. And so it was a total of 79 cases that were resolved through settlement. Again, 92% resulted in reduced discipline. Two out of the 79 cases resulted in discipline being eliminated, and four out of the 79 settlement cases resulted in the discipline being maintained. The last and fourth finding is that the disciplinary grievance outcomes are shaped by a very limited number of decision makers. The requirement that the union and the Department of Law on behalf of CPD mutually agree to an arbitrator may explain the high reoccurrence of arbitrators selected to resolve binding summary opinions in arbitrations. This ultimately has led to three individuals who are neither members of the department nor of any investigating agency having the final say in an overwhelming majority of cases. And that percentage was about 90% of the cases that we looked at. And again, you can look at the report. We lay out the information in more detail. Additionally, you'll be able to see charts with a breakdown of those numbers. And we refer to the arbitrators in the report as arbitrators A, B, and C. Moreover, judicial review of arbitrators' decisions is extremely limited. Accordingly, these three individual arbitrators have a great deal of power concerning discipline served by CPD members, and their decisions are highly unlikely to be disturbed on subsequent review. If the Circuit Court of Cook County looks at one of the arbitrators' decisions, they give great deference to the arbitrators. So that's why it's highly unlikely that even if a decision made by an arbitrator goes before the Circuit Court of Cook County that any change will happen. As a result, OIG recommended that the Department of Law and CPD work with the unions representing CPD sworn members to expand the pool of eligible arbitrators and review whether having so few arbitrators responsible for a large majority of grievance resolutions is consistent with a fair disciplinary process. In conclusion, a transparent disciplinary process is foundational to the operation of the police accountability system. Such transparency in the disciplinary process is an entitlement of both CPD members and the public. Thank you.
Thank you. This evening, we're pleased to have with us Walter Katz, who will speak on police discipline, arbitration, and transparency. Mr. Katz is currently Vice President for Criminal Justice at Arnold Ventures. He has an extensive background in police accountability and oversight and has served as Deputy Chief of Staff for Public Safety in the administration of Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Walter. Hold on 1 second, Walter. No, we can't hear you. Let's see. Give me a second. Can you say something now? Let's see. No. All right. Walter, we're going to come back to you. If you can just hold tight for a minute, we'll come back to you. In the meantime, while we're waiting on this, is there a motion to approve the drafts of the minutes of the board's public and closed meetings held on July 20th?
So moved, Paula Wolf.
Second. All in favor, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. Our next regular public meeting will be held Thursday, September 21st at 7:30 p.m. This meeting will be held in person here at Chicago Public Safety Headquarters. The board meets in executive session to consider various matters. Those discussions are closed to the public as authorized by sections 2C1, 4, 11, and 21 of the Illinois Open Meetings Act. Information on matters discussed in executive sessions is included in the minutes of the meetings posted on our website. Is there a motion to close future executive sessions as authorized by these sections of the Open Meetings Act?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. The police board hears cases when the superintendent, Walter, we're waiting for the technical difficulties. We haven't forgotten about you. The police board hears cases when the superintendent files charges recommending that an officer be discharged from the Chicago Police Department for violating CPD rules. The board is authorized by the Open Meetings Act as discussed in a closed meeting, one police disciplinary case. We will now take final action on this case. Regarding case number 21-PB-2991, the superintendent filed charges against police officers Melvina Bogard and Bernard Butler, recommending that they be discharged from the Chicago Police Department for rule violations stemming from their stop and Bogard shooting of a person in a CTA subway station on February 28, 2020. Bogard resigned from the CPD prior to the hearing on the charges. First, is there a motion to grant the superintendent's motion to withdraw the charges against Bogard because the board no longer has jurisdiction due to her resignation from CPD? All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I can't do it that way. I will now call on members of the boards for their votes. Wolf.
Aye.
Block.
Aye.
Carr Favors.
Aye.
Cusack.
Aye.
Dorley.
Aye.
Montez.
Aye.
Edie, if you can raise your hand, because I'm not sure that we can see you. Edie? Okay. Give me a thumbs up. Okay, all right. Safakis, okay, we got a hand up. Okay, great. And I vote in favor of the motion. Voting in favor are board members Wolf, Block, Carr Favors, Cusack, Dorley, Edie, Montez, Safakis, and myself. The motion passes by a vote of 9-0. Next, is there a motion to find police officer Bernard Butler guilty of certain charges stemming from this incident and to suspend him without pay for 1 year?
So moved, callable. Second.
I will now call on members of the board for their votes. Wolf.
Aye.
Block.
I oppose the motion.
Carr Favors.
Aye.
Cusack.
Aye.
Dorley.
I oppose the
motion. Montez.
Aye.
Edie. Give me a thumbs up.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm sorry. Edie, you oppose the motion. Is that accurate? You oppose the motion. And Safakis? Safakis, do you oppose the motion? If you can give me a hand up. Okay, Safakis opposes the motion. And I vote in favor of the motion. Voting in favor is our board members. Wolf, Carr Favors, Cusack, Montez, and myself. Board members Block, Dorley, Edie, and Safakis oppose the motion. The motion passes by a vote of 5-4. Is there a motion to adopt the written findings and decision and dissent that have been reviewed by all board members who participated in the case?
So moved. Callable. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. The written decision in this case will be entered as of today's date, sent to the parties, then posted on the board's website. There's also one announcement of a rule in a disagreement case this evening. Board member Block will be making this announcement.
I was randomly selected from the police board's membership to
consider one matter on which the Chief Administrator of the Civilian Office of Police Accountability and the Superintendent of Police did not agree regarding the discipline of a lieutenant. In request for review number 23-04, the Chief Administrator recommended that Lieutenant Michael Keeney be discharged from the Chicago Police Department for discharging his firearm at a person in violation of CPD's general orders. The superintendent proposed that the allegation be classified as unfounded and that no discipline be imposed on Lieutenant Keeney. After considering the matter, it is my opinion that the superintendent did not meet the burden of overcoming the chief administrator's recommendation for discipline. My decision that the superintendent did not meet his burden should not be interpreted as an indication that the chief administrator's recommendation is correct or justified by the available evidence. Rather, it is merely my determination that because of the heightened burden imposed on the superintendent at this phase of the case, a hearing is necessary. A copy of the written opinion will be posted on the board's website.
Thank you.
When a person who applies to become a Chicago police officer is removed from the eligibility list due to the results of a background examination, that person has the right to appeal to the police board. The board, as authorized by the Open Meetings Act, has discussed in a closed meeting several appeals. We will now take final action on these appeals. Is there a motion to affirm the decision to disqualify the applicant for the following appeals? 23AA 17 through 20. And reverse. That's good enough.
Okay. All will so move.
I will now call on members of the board for their votes. Wolf?
Aye.
Block?
Aye.
Carr Favors?
Aye.
Cusack?
Aye.
Doorley?
Aye.
Montez?
Aye.
Edie, if you can give us a thumbs up. Sofakis? Thumbs up. All right. And I vote in favor of the motion. Voting in favor are board members Wolf, Block, Carr Favors, Cusack, Doorley, Edie, Montez, Sofakis, and myself. The motion passes. The written decisions of these appeals will be entered as of today's date, sent to the parties, and posted on the board's website. Walter, let's see if you can unmute and let's see if we can hear you now. They're doing some technical adjustments. No, we still can't hear you. So we're gonna continue. Next up, I have the superintendent's report.
I think again.
Hold on 1 second, Sue.
I think I have one.
Nah, it's broken.
It's not broken. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Good evening to all police board members and community members present for this month's meeting. On Sunday, Mayor Brandon Johnson named Chief Larry Snelling, who heads our Bureau of Counterterrorism, as the next superintendent to lead the Chicago Police Department. Though we are a few weeks out from his confirmation, I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to congratulate him. I know firsthand what an incredible honor and opportunity it is to be asked to lead the Chicago Police Department, especially during this time. I know firsthand what an incredible honor and opportunity it is to be asked to lead the Chicago Police Department, especially during these times. And I've been fortunate not only to witness Chief Snelling's impressive career, but also to have worked alongside him. When I first assumed the role of interim superintendent, I said I was committed to serving this city with integrity, professionalism, and respect. That's never changed, but I want to tell all of you that Chief Snelling demonstrates the same ideas every day and works on behalf of every community in Chicago. I know he will always work to make this department stronger and our city safer. And the same goes for First Deputy Superintendent Bill Bradley, who recently announced his plans to retire in September. I've known Bill nearly my entire career and remain proud to call him a fellow officer. But more than that, he's my friend. I join the department in wishing him well in this next chapter. Since our last meeting, our city played backdrop to the National Homeland Security Conference. To the National Security Conference. ...2023 marked the first year in this conference's 18-year history that was held in Chicago, and it was a resounding success. We hosted law enforcement, security, special intelligence, and emergency management agencies from across the United States. We learned from one another and shared best practices and innovations in public safety. That proved beneficial as our officers prepared to keep residents and visitors safe during large, high-profile events in the city. Many officers gave up one or two of their days off and worked consecutive weekends to cover Lollapalooza at the beginning of the month and the annual Bud Billiken parade and picnic last weekend. I'm grateful. In fact, I'm more than grateful for their skill and dedication. This month, our department also held closeout ceremonies for our public service internship program and our Youth District Advisory Council Summer Leadership Institute as those programs came to an end. I got the chance to meet with these groups of young people during the summer and discuss what policing and safety means to them. They led inner office and community-based projects, connected with sworn and civilian department members, and learned about day-to-day operations across CPD. Engaging with youth and young adults and fostering relationships is one of the most vital components of making and keeping neighborhoods safe. That's why we'll join community members and local leaders tomorrow to cut the ribbon on the new Russo McCartan Boys and Girls Club on the West Side. It's next door to the new Public Safety Training Center to not only connect youth and department members, but also expose those young people to careers in public service and public safety. Our officers are already involved in a wide array of youth programming and outreach across our city. Districts and this club will not only bring more opportunities and resources to the communities we serve. The men and women of the Chicago Police Department always work to engage with families, youth, and businesses to build trust and grow relationships. When it comes to protecting our communities, we know collaboration and communication go hand in hand. Thank you.
That's all right. Let's try Walter. Walter, can you come on off of mute? All right, it's working. All right, CAN TV, can you hear? Okay, all right, Walter. Thank you.
is pretty aware as to any plans which can definitely be present for the transport for the basis for the police report and the vehicle for the present penetration. And second, of course, the issue was greatly displayed in the subsequent individual report. Thank you.
Very much, Walter. Really appreciate your thoughtful summary and balanced thoughts on this issue. Is there a way to move? Okay. All right. Next, we will have our Chief Administrator, COPA Chief Administrator, Andrea Kirsten.
Thank you. Good evening. I'll try to be brief tonight because we've had a lot of important material already presented, and I know there's public comment that we're still waiting for. I also want to take this opportunity in the event that this is Interim Superintendent Waller's last police board meeting with us, just to publicly say thank you for your service to the city. When you spoke about your intention to serve with integrity, that is something that I think has been on full display from my purview and my role, and I appreciate your partnership. We certainly don't always agree or see eye to eye on everything, but the level of candor and the willingness to discuss the things we disagree on and to hopefully learn from one another, that's something that's been invaluable to me, even in the short period of time that you've been in this role, and certainly something that I know your successor intends to carry forward as well, which I think is to the betterment of our entire city, including our respective departments. So thank you.
Thank you.
My monthly updates usually are pretty statistically driven, so I'll just note that in July, July, we received 348 complaints and notifications. 78 of those were retained under our jurisdiction. And once again, the highest complaint type, 30% of those complaints were improper search or seizure or Fourth Amendment violations. There were two officer-involved shootings in the month of July as well, and we closed a lot of cases. I spoke before the board a few months ago about our timeliness initiative, which officially launched in July, and so dozens and dozens, in fact, over 200 cases that were exceedingly old and aging and involving lower-level infractions have now been closed, some of which with remedial or training recommendations made for officers' conduct, but not disciplinary outcomes. So looking forward to that continued work as our caseload begins to become more manageable. When I started at Chief, it was around 1,800 cases, and today it's about 1,100. So it's a pretty significant reduction, and more of that to come. I'll also just note that we had over 30 community engagements in the month of July alone. So we continue, although we're a small but mighty department, to be very present in the communities that we serve. And that's something that I'm incredibly proud of, and often have the opportunity to speak more holistically in community meetings and other settings about the work of COPA and CPD more broadly. It's one of the many opportunities that we can be able to sort of promote our shared interests as a broader public safety system working on behalf of our city. Lastly, there's been a lot said about arbitration and the state of the FOP contract, which may lead to potential changes in our disciplinary process. I certainly couldn't speak with the level of expertise that you've already heard tonight, so I'm not going to belabor this point, but I want to add just a couple of small things. When we talk about accountability and public safety more broadly, you know, the section of this system that the arbitration process falls in is really the only part of our broader police accountability system that's completely untouched by the reforms of the consent decree. So when you look at this board, you look at COPA, you look at CPD itself, even you look at the Office of Inspector General, as entities, we all have requirements under that consent decree, things that include additional training, expertise, guidelines that kind of ground the way that we do our work. None of those apply in the context of an arbitration. So I just want to note that arbitrators themselves don't receive any, they're not required to have any specialized training about departmental directives or about any of the reform principles that all of us that sit before you in these roles are asked to uphold. The other piece about arbitration that I think is important for the public to understand is timeline. There isn't one. When it comes to COPA's investigations, I'm accountable when our investigations take too long. I have to come and answer to that. When it comes to the police board, there are rules that set out how long you all have to decide your disagreement cases, and you're on the clock once a hearing starts, etc. Arbitration doesn't operate under any set timeline or standards for when they deliver results. And I'll just give one quick anecdotal example here that there's a really high-profile case that the police board had part of it because one officer faced separation as a result of his conduct, and many other officers had lesser discipline that ended up being arbitrated. I personally testified in that arbitration hearing in May of 2022. We have not received a result from that arbitration yet, and the police board has already concluded its work and decided on discipline with respect to the separation case. So again, there is no consistency or accountability around the timing of arbitration decisions as well, which I think is a detriment to what we are all seeking to accomplish, which is holding officers accountable, yes, but also making sure that discipline can be imparted so that officers that are returning to the job, they can learn from their mistakes and they can move on and become productive officers for the department. The arbitration process as it stands now often lags in its ability to do that in a timely manner. So just wanted to add those two notes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. At this time, I will call upon members of the public who signed up in advance to speak to ensure we have time to hear from all speakers. There's a two-minute time limit. Mr. Blakemore, I know you didn't sign up to speak, but do you want to speak?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to ask you to speak first because as you're walking around and speaking on your video. Well, hold on, Mr. Blakemore. It's disturbing everyone else. Okay, but it's disturbing everyone else. So if I could ask you, okay, would you like to speak? All right.
feel called to be at peace. A city like Chicago and only have about 7 people, citizens. You have more on this board than you have out here, citizens. It's something wrong here. But Mr. Blakemore, what motivated you to come out here? What motivated you? I was needed out here. The ancestors sent me out here to see this dog and pony show. I couldn't believe it. And you all are going to give up your... Either I'm crazy or we crazy.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Blakemore. Sorry about all the technical difficulties. We're going to work to get this resolved for next month. Next speaker, June Norfleet. I'm going to stand at a distance.
I'll make it brief. I have a written statement. First of all, good evening. Good evening to the people.
Thank you.
Steve and President Hannah and board.
No, I'm just on the
okay. I had prepared a statement called We All Need a Key Card. I'll just read the first. Imagine if starting right now, a key card was necessary to enter any police station in the city of Chicago. If you wanted to file a report, report a crime, provide technical and critical information about deleterious activities, no doubt you would be outraged because you don't have a key card. You would protest that your right to access this necessary life-sustaining, taxpayer-supported resource was now being abridged. Cries of violated and denied Fifth and 14th Amendment and due process would be heard all over the city. Well, I cannot safely and comfortably enter the doors of the 4th, the 3rd, the 6th, the 22nd. I went all the way up to the 11th, went all over. Why? Because currently the disgraceful, obtrusive, unhygienic, offensive, non-productive staging and housing or long-term, more than 48 hours, holding of persons in the lobby, foyers, restrooms, and campuses of our police station exists. Personal property is stacked up to the ceiling, clothes are being laundered inside and outside, hung on blue and white CPT barricades. The children are running afoot, panhandling to the zenith, drug sales. Unlicensed vehicles are parked outside our station and being used as God only knows. Because of this, I and other citizens are not able to safely and comfortably enter our police stations, nor is this a healthy environment for our officers to conduct business. Our limited resources are now being charged with having to maintain and work through this chaos. We have lost our key card, and our key card is our common sense. I am asking the police department to please encourage the mayor and the city council to immediately stop housing persons in the police station for long-term periods. This is not a productive and satisfying conclusion, nor how would we feel if we were entering a place that we thought was a safe harbor, the city of Chicago, and this is what we were confronted with. This is what was offered to us. We've lost our key card. We've lost our common sense of this. And I encourage you, please encourage that they choose another option. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Matt Brand.
Well, I'll just do it from here. And I think everybody can hear me. I came out to a dear friend, Superintendent Waller. I even put on a suit to make sure that I fit the moment. But I just came out on behalf of all the community groups that we represent to say thank you for coming out of retirement, stepping in. I know the morale was down in the pits, you know, in the police department. And it was important that a man like you came at a time like this. And we really appreciate you. We wish you nothing but the best, you know that. This arbitration piece, I agree. I heard George halfway say it. It's absolutely wrong to take the authority away from the police board and put it in the hands of arbitrators. Somebody said that arbitration is mutual agreement. It's not. It's agreement by elimination. The unions start out with the people most favorable to them. The police department, of course, starts out with the people most favorable to them. And then you strike, and you get an arbitrator somewhere in the middle. But arbitrators still have a vested interest because they get paid to do that. So I've known a lot of arbitrators in my day. I don't think Ed Ben is still here. If Ed Ben is still here, I know the police department won't win. But I just hope that there's some way to reconsider that and change that in the FOP contract and give transparency back to the public that it deserves.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Donna Oliver.
Superintendent Waller, committee members, this is a thank you letter for Commander Quartz, and I wanted to tell him, thank you and your team of sergeants and officers for ensuring a safe neighborhood for the 59th Street block during the 4th of July activities. These activities included excessive amounts of illegal fireworks, loitering, and disrespect of personal property. Not only were the officers patrolling from start to finish, but their commander drove by several times checking on his officers. Teamwork. I want the officers to know that without their presence, the remaining homeowners could kiss their homes goodbye because of the fireworks. I am one of the homeowners who happen to be fourth generation homeowner. I have experienced the entire Inglewood community at its best and now its worst. The officers need to know that everyone does not hate the police. Our organizations, Communities Organized to Win, Operation Neighborhood Safety, Talking Trash, Together We Can, Together We Will, of the communities who have come together to promote the safety of our communities and our officers. My home will always be a home with open arms for our officers. Why? Because it was once the home of two of our most past outstanding officers, Sergeant Garland Davis, Sergeant Officer Frank. Again, thank you again for your dedicated services to serve and protect. As always, we promote the bread of our community. If we sit down and break bread together, we will always be together. Thank you again, Superintendent Waller. I can't hand you this. That's a Matt thing. You might have to fight him for that. So, but thank you for your service and being there. We feel protected because of you. Thank you. Can he have it? Okay, all right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's fresh baked bread and it's buttered up.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, he ain't gonna get in trouble for eating that bread. A Our next speaker, C.C. Edwards.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Good evening, board. And I want to just say that thank you, Superintendent Waller. I really, really, our community is heartfelt to see you go. But we know that you made a difference for us. We're on 75th Street. We had 300 people descend on 75th and St. Lawrence last weekend. And Commander of, Commander Blanche just took over, but he was able to get the troops down there and get these people out of the area, but it still was really quite difficult. But just think, if we could have those two cameras, we could have had them in there earlier, okay? That was one. Number two, I was on my way here, and I'm a little upset, okay? So bear with me, but I was on my way here, and I went to the Hyde Park McDonald's to use the washroom before I came here. And while I was in there, a man ran in at the back and shot one of the workers inside the McDonald's while I was there. And it was just a traumatic experience for me. And I'm a former officer, and it still is just overwhelming me right now. And the officers responded immediately. They were there. The ambulance was there. But we need to take untied hands of our officers so that they can do their job and get these people with these guns and get them off our streets. Thank you so much, the board, and thank you, Superintendent Waller, for your service.
I'm sorry that you had that experience. Our next speaker, Kim Green.
Good afternoon. Good evening. My name is Kimberly Green, and I live along the border of the 3rd and the 6th District on East 75th Street. Public safety and quality of life is a big concern for the residents along the 75th Street corridor. In 2021 and 2022, residents met on many occasions with the former Alderman Rod Sawyer regarding measures to increase the public safety and allow the 3rd and the 6th District to curb the violence by preventing robberies, carjackings, reduced quality of life issues, et cetera. During that time, the Alderman ordered two pod cameras in mid-2022 to be installed by OEMC. We are now in the third quarter of 2023, and there's still no cameras. I had to request FOIAs from CPD, then OEMC, and finally CDOT to finally find an answer of where these cameras are. And that, guess what? They're out of stock. So it's very important that we have these pod cameras. The third district's current year strategic plan includes heavy dependence on pod cameras. Without them, they can't do their jobs. So we need to be safe. We need to have peace of mind and be able to get sleep and just have mental health. So I respectfully plead for your help to advocate for us to get these two pod cameras that were ordered and paid for and promised to us in the 6th Ward. Thank you.
Yeah, can I just speak to that? The Alderman, 75th Street, he was out there last weekend. We brought both commanders, are working on plans for 75th Street. I'll speak to him. He's a new Alderman, so I'll speak to him as far as the cameras to see what we can do. And as far as that young man that was shot, he is in stable condition, so he seems that he's going to be okay. All right.
Thank you. Rita Pritchett.
I come over. Good evening, everyone. My name is Rita Pritchett. I'm a retired Chicago police officer. I am happy to be able to have made the acquaintance of Superintendent Waller. He's always been a gentleman. For a while, I was chaplain with the police department. And I saw him oftentimes at funerals for the officers, and he was always so kind and so engaging. and just who he is. I think that the scripture teaches that you should know them by the fruit they bear. He bears good fruit, and I would just like to make this little presentation to him, if I may.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and our final speaker, Mr. Robert Moore. At this time, all people who signed up in advance have been called upon. And our meeting is concluded. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Paula Wolf.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much. Be safe.
Thank you. I know your wife, you take them home. She's going to get them bread. But I just want to ask you to get them home.